Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions. And you've been sending in some great questions. Lots happening, lots of dynamic things down at Walt Disney World. So we're going to get right to those. Brent's got a question, though. He's never stayed on property, and he's looking for the best two or three resorts to visit with kids age 3, 5, and 8. So we'll break that down in the value, moderate, and deluxe categories here in just a second. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Thank goodness I have another trip on the horizon, 41 days to go, till we check in at Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort for a few nights before the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. Then we head over to the Yacht Club and finish with a couple of nights over at Boardwalk. You do not know how excited I am. Every time I post to social media, get a text message, or place a phone call, I know that I'm getting excited for one of the most epic vacations we've ever taken. You can do the same as well. Check them out. They've got great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. The easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast is to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please bookmark it on all your devices and use it as often as possible. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. So again, please, when you purchase things on Amazon, use our Amazon affiliate link. We appreciate it very much. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1485 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope this day is finding you well. You had a great Mother's Day weekend a couple of days ago to all the awesome moms out in the Be Our Guest Podcast community. And we're here to answer your listener questions. Ricky's still down in Daytona Beach. Who knows? She still thinks she's 18, so I guess she's having spring break, a little laid out. I don't know. Maybe she's getting ready for the 500 next year. Who knows? We'll have her back next week. But we have Pam Forrester back from Walt Disney World joining us to talk some Disney, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam?
Well, okay. First of all, I have to say, we're 15 episodes away from 1,500.
Holy cow.
How did that happen?
I'm just saying, because we do this 3 times a week. That's why. Because I haven't had a life for 10 years, 11 years.
It's just, God bless all you folks who will listen to us week after week. We so appreciate the support. I'm not sure that I would listen to us week after week. I don't know. Who am I kidding? I would.
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like being in a relationship with us. You know, it's like you're our, you know, it's like you're our pseudo significant other. I know that Pam tunes me out all the time, you know, and that you guys tune in. That kind of says something. My wife tunes me out and you guys tune in. So there you go.
Well, it's like, thank you for helping our other relationships all these years, because now at least we don't have quite the level of our spouses and family members being annoyed with us talking Disney so much, right? I mean, I think, like, I don't know, Steve must have rolled his eyes a million times when I'm like, did you read this new thing about this thing at Disney? Did you read about the gondolas and that there's 55 different designs and I want to ride in all of them?
That's right. We should try that. That's the new challenge. Hit all the buckets.
I know, right? I know. We've been talking about that with the agents. Some of us are very excited about riding in the gondolas. So, anyways.
Rumor has it. We don't know anything official. This doesn't preface But maybe one of us will be there when they go online. I'm thinking. I heard something. It's unofficial, but I'm optimistic. I just want to ride those things. I'm more excited about those than Galaxy's Edge, and I'm excited for Galaxy's Edge. But
you're,
man,
not more excited.
I don't know.
Those.
They're going to be easier to get on. I know I can get my butt in a gondola. I don't know. I'll get my butt in the Millennium Falcon. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. You won't need a fast pass for the gondola.
Anyway, yeah. All right, let's get to the questions. We're going to have a lot of fun here. Brent's got a question. Just came in. I think it's a great question. He says, hey, guys, love the podcast and have been listening since we took our daughter to Disney World for her third birthday back in January. I have a question since I've never stayed on property before. We have a big group that usually goes and we rent a house off-site. However, we still want to visit some of the resorts and explore. What are the 2 to 3 best ones for us to visit with kids 3, 5, and 8? Any other info that would help is much appreciated on visiting resorts. Brent's from Raleigh, North Carolina. He says, go Canes. All right. So let's tackle this one. First of all, Brent, Friday, I'm going to give just a few minutes about my off-site stay and why. The many, many benefits of staying on-site for your Walt Disney World vacation. And there are a plethora of reasons to stay on-site if you can make it happen. And I will talk about that on Friday because I, you know, it was out of my hands. The cheerleading group booked the hotel. We stayed in a Disney Springs resort. Didn't have some of the benefits that I'm typically used to. So if you can, on your next trip, give it a shot. Stay on site and really be immersed in the magic 24/7. But Pam, I wanted to ask you about this. I thought we would kind of break this down. Give your best value, moderate, and deluxe for kids in that kind of preschool to elementary age that I think they would get the most out of a stay on site, not just visiting, but staying there. What would you say?
So right now, my favorite value resort without question is Pop Century.
Oh, me too.
I mean, the rooms have been redone. They look great. They are more spacious. They have coffee makers. You know, the list goes on and on. Plus, I love Pop Century's location. It's really right there in the middle of the magic. And you can walk over to Art of Animation. So you have the benefit of having access to 2 different food courts. And I think that's a plus too. So that's my top value. My top moderate right now, again, no surprise, Coronado.
God, we're on the same wavelength. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because these are the right answers,
that's
my friend.
That's right. That's right.
So anyways, Coronado has gone through an extensive rehab. And we all know that Grandestino Tower is opening up. But in addition to having Grandestino Tower open up, they have addressed some of the issues that made people maybe not fall in love with Coronado. Like, I've been in love with Coronado since I first stayed there years ago. The distance from walking from one side of the resort to the other is going to be pretty much sliced in half. Yep. With the addition of those 3 bridges. Plus, you're going to have this little island out there called 3 Bridges that's going to have a fantastic eatery on it. It's going to have a great location. And Mike, did you know that the check-in location, when Grandestino Towers opens up, the check-in location is not going to be where it is right now. It's going to be over in Grandestino Towers. Everyone is going to have the opportunity to check in for their stay in that beautiful new lobby. So I think that that's something that's a huge plus too. But they've really, really worked to make so many positive changes in these Grandestino Towers and Coronado as a whole. So I think it's absolutely worth going to. They've done some different things with dining. And then in terms of staying at one of the deluxe resorts, this is rough because there are so many that are such great choices. But I think when you have little ones, it is such a benefit to be on the monorail loop. It just really is. And I think that so many kids really enjoy staying at the Polynesian. So that would be my number one recommendation.
Yeah, I was going to go the same. Pop Century, Coronado, for the reasons you stated. Also, Coronado, with that age group of kids, that pool's amazing. The dig site is just incredible. They got the little splash area, but they just have, you know, the Jaguar slide. I still go down and I'm 45. Scott goes down all the time with his daughter. You know, we have a great time. And, you know, for the adults, there's a nice siesta pool bar right there. They have, you know, a few hot items, some nice drinks. It's just, it's really got it all. And it's just beautiful. A lot of table service dining there. The Mercado at Del Coronado is really good for families. But as far as the deluxe resorts, I was thinking was 2. I would say Yacht Club or Beach Club because of Storm Along Bay. Great location. You can walk to the studios or Epcot or take a friendship boat. And also Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's just so unique and kids love animals and you could just make a day. You could make 3 days out of not even going to the parks. So
there are so many great choices in that deluxe category. And it's all about the theming. I think if you choose a theme that really appeals to you and your family, then you can't lose.
All right. Next question comes from Dallas. He said, let's see. I need opinions. We have a trip booked for September 23rd through October 1st. Family of 5, 2 adults, a 16-year-old, 9-year-old, and a rambunctious 3-year-old. Aren't all 3-year-olds pretty much rambunctious? I'm guessing. She says, there are flights on Southwest, our preferred airline, mine too, for mid-afternoon, but really late enough that it seems like a waste. We have found a flight the previous night landing at 9 p.m. If we booked that flight, where can we go? I thought about booking a hotel within a few miles of MCO, shuttling back super early and jumping on Magical Express. Can we do that? Should we rent a car? If we do, I feel like I heard about a car rental place at Disney. Is that true? The flight will save us $125 by coming in the previous night, but my thoughts are getting to Disney first. Think that I'm rather than wasting a whole night. Okay, let me just, it's kind of a jumble there. Or should we just suck it up and get that midday arrival flight and pretty much waste our first day? Having the three-year-old is our big issue. We will need a car seat. I hope this makes sense. You guys are so awesome, and thank you for your thoughts. Dallas. Okay, so here's I took this one because I wanted to address this, because I think many of us have this situation where, you know, some people have limited flights down to Orlando. You know, you can't just pick the exact time you're going to land. And sometimes you have multiple options, but you can save, you know, $100 here, $200 there. And if you have, you know, a family of five, that could be a big chunk of change. Here's my thoughts on this. Okay. And Pam, I think you're going to agree with me because we think a lot alike on this. I like to be, even if I'm going to arrive at 9 o'clock PM. Okay. I still do that and stay at my hotel where the package is going to be. I'll add the night on because there's so much to be said for getting there, getting in your room, getting things settled, getting that good night's sleep. If you can be in bed by 10 o'clock, you can hit the ground running the next day. You're excited. You're ready to go. I don't, because Dallas mentioned a waste. I don't think it's a waste. I think that, I know what he's saying. Like you're paying for like a full day and you're getting there for like the last 3 hours. But I think it benefits you so much to be there on site, ready to roll, and your vacation is off to a great start. Where that next morning, if you get there early, you're kind of, you're jumping around, you're trying to get too many variables in the air, and a lot of things can go wrong. If you're there settled, the next day is just so much better. So I still would arrive at 9 o'clock at night.
I would too. That would be mine. That's always my preference. You get to get there, you get to settle in. Even if you can't, you know, I would try to stay at the resort you're going to stay at starting the next day. If you have a package, you can always add on a room only choice, a room only option to that. If you can't do that, I would stay at another Disney resort. And I will tell you why, because then you're there, you're on Disney property. And even from that point, I think you're closer to getting everything started. You can go there, check in, get all your stuff. But I'm totally with Mike. I like to start the vacation right then, as soon as I can, and be at the resort that I'm going to be at, check in, start putting stuff away in my room. I mean, you know how that takes you a little bit of time to sort of, get acclimated to everything. Get some Disney food that
yes.
evening.
Yeah,
right?
That
starts the vacation.
That's exactly what we do. We try to get there before the food court or the because if you get there like after midnight, it's closed. But, you know, even just grabbing a cupcake or a tie-dye cheesecake, I mean, that tells you, we are on vacation. We're at Walt Disney World. We're pumped. And it gets you. And then you have the cupcake. You go to bed and you're just so excited for the next day.
For me, it is very challenging to put a price on time, especially on vacation. Like my regular time's important. My vacation time is like knock it out of the ballpark important. It is worth so much to me. So anytime I have the option to save a little time and everything else, I will do that. I absolutely will. And we always, almost always, fly in the night before our vacation is technically supposed to start. So,
because if you think about it, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of folks have limited vacation time from their jobs. So a lot of times you can work the full day, you know, get off at 4 or 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. head to the airport. And most places, not every boat place, but most places in the country, probably, you know, east of the Mississippi, you could be down at Walt Disney World by 9 or 10. And that way you don't lose the vacation day at home. You're settled. There's a lot of reasons to do it. And I mean, overall for the vacation package, it's not going to cost you that much. And like Pam says, time is money. You know, it makes a better experience because you just don't want to be chasing so many things at 8 o'clock the next morning because you saved a couple $100. You know, I agree. I look at it that way. All right. And let's see. Eric was asking, will Disney transfer your luggage to the other hotel for you? Absolutely. And that's a great service. But I mean, you got to also pack a day bag because you want to make sure you have the things that you need. It's kind of like going on a cruise when you arrive on the ship. You want to have the necessities with you because it can take a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's a great service, especially if you're doing a split stay. You're the queen of the splits.
Boy, that sounded like a whole split stage show.
You're all raw. Let's talk cheerleading again. Yeah. The perfect cheer.
Exactly. But no, when we are down there, just because I want to experience each hotel, I mean, it's really easy to learn. Like, you know, you say I took a course and I learned about Coronado Springs. It's a completely different ballgame. Stay there for a few days so that you experience it and you know what works and what doesn't and all of those things. So we do do our best to stay a few nights at each hotel. About every 2 years, we do it. We make sure that we stay at all of them just to see how everything's going. So we do a split stay all the time. Disney will transfer your luggage for you. You can also get Uber, Lyft, minivans to do that. No, I'm not going to. I think I'm way past my split time, Eric. I'm just saying. I don't know. there's a question. Can we see Pam do a split? I think that ship may have sailed for me.
We were just talking before we started recording. We were talking about the NBA experience and how yes. One of the things apparently you can do is dunk. And I said, okay, there's going to be a lot of dudes my age that still think they're 18. And that I know that they're going to have it modified so you don't hurt yourself. But I'm saying if they had a 10-foot rim and they have people like me that say, oh, man, I can run the dopey challenge. I can dunk. They better have Concentra on site because they're going to be, I'm going to lose a hamstring, an Achilles tendon, and probably my shoulder going for that dunk because I still picture myself at the pep assembly my junior year. You know, so.
It's the dunking experience sponsored by Celebration Hospital.
That's the perfect, yeah. That synergy right there is what that is.
Right?
Man, I'm just saying, I love this stuff. All right, let's get to the next question. I hate to say it, but I mean, I got to say her name. It's from Alexa. My thing just turned on. Okay, hang on, mute. Okay, sorry. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm emailing as I'm sitting at my desk suffering from post-Disney depression. I visited the world last week with my family, and it was the best trip ever. We were asked to be the Grand Marshals of the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which was epic. Yeah, it's hard to recover from that. I mean, come on.
I know, right? Like, you go from doing this to being like, crap, I gotta get up and go to work.
Well, to be fair, she should lead the parade at her work, like down to the vending machine at lunchtime or something, you know, like Grand Marshal of the getting the peanut butter and cheese crackers today for lunch.
Right. So, I don't know that it'll have the same appeal, but it's worth a shot.
It's like that old Starbucks commercial. You need the band behind you going, Mike, Tie of the Tiger. That's how it is. Anyway, so it was also my first time experiencing Flower and Garden, which makes me want to try Food and Wine. I know it's been a while, but it was great meeting you and Ricky at the Indy Disney Meet. I've moved to Houston since then, but definitely plan on going back for it each year. I recently joined the Lizards and I'm running my first Dopey in 2020. Congratulations.
Good for you.
That was awesome. My mom is also going to be coming down to cheer me on and hang out at the parks. We are trying to figure out the best resort to stay at for the Dopey trip, and I wondered if you had any suggestions. I know you are partial to Riverside, and I've been looking there and French Quarter, but I wondered if it's worth it to splurge for a deluxe resort to have the comfiest beds to sleep in each night before the races. I've been to Disney many times, but have only stayed on property once at Saratoga. I know you can't reserve rooms yet for January. Yes, you can, actually. But any advice you have would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your awesome episodes to keep me going all week long. I'm not going to say her name. I said it once. You know who.
So, you know who you are.
Exactly. Sorry about that. Anyway, so just for the record, a couple things. We can book rooms now. Room-only reservations for 499 days out, so just send me an email over at the Magic for Less, and we'll get you squared away, get you some pricing. We can hold a room with just the first night's deposit. You're set. It's good to lock in that room now because, you know, there's a little thing happening in late August that's really making the rooms fly off the shelf sometimes. But I will say, too, this will be my fifth Dopey. I could sleep on a bed of nails some night. But I like the way you're thinking. That's how I thought after, you know, getting ready for my first Dopey. Pam, you've been down there for the race weekends. You've been all over the place because you really do get out there just as much as us cheering the logistics of it all. What would you suggest? Because you got to think about her mom, too. Her mom's going as a spectator.
That's the thing. So I think more important than the comfort of beds for the runners is the ability to access easy transportation for everybody, right? And I feel like, especially during marathon weekend, the two hotels that really sort of have the market on that are, first of all, the Yacht and Beach Club, which I'll consider one, because you can walk to and from Epcot, and that really makes it easy for the spectators to do that. In addition, Polynesian does as well, because you can walk to the TTC from the Polynesian, and that really becomes helpful with some locations to cheer and just getting back and forth. So those are two of my favorite resorts to stay at on a running or race weekend.
The good news is, though, you know, if you're looking for the, obviously the deluxes are going to have the, you know, the softest towels, the best, if we're going to go by the toilet paper, the nicest toilet paper, you know, like it's just, I mean, it's a deluxe resort, but I mean, I'm going down solo. I'm staying at Pop Century this marathon weekend just because it will have the Skyliner available to us just as an extra thing. Pop Century has a great food court. It's going to fit my needs considering I'm going solo. And I love Pop. Pop's like where I grew up, so I love that. But the good news is back in the day, you know, with some of the races, you had to think about, is this a host resort? So you had to make sure, like one time I stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge, didn't realize it wasn't a host resort, had to take my first taxi cab and had an amazing race-like experience where I paid the guy to go up over the curb to get me in there in time. It was crazy. Probably shouldn't have said that. But I felt like I was, you know, I was like, oh, I'm first cab ride of my life. I'm from the Midwest. I got to make this exciting.
So he made it happen.
He did, man. That guy was good. But, you know, now they're all host resorts. You don't have to worry. The transportation is awesome. You always want to be on site for a race weekend, especially something like Dopey. You're getting up super early, 4 days in a row. And for the fact that you know that a warm motor coach is going to be picking you up, they're going to get you there in plenty of time to start the race. And you can get on that bus and just go back to sleep for 30 minutes. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, it sounds stupid, but it is still 3:30 in the morning and it's warm and it's dark and, you know, you're tired. So it's really nice to have that out of your hands. You're not trying to get to the start. You're not trying to drive a car, park it, you know, hail an Uber at that time of the morning. It's pretty sweet. So, and yes, James J in the chat, he's asking if when you do ADRs, can you do the whole stay at 180 for check-in, or do you have to do it one day at a time? You can do the whole thing. So I just want to get that.
If you're on site,
if you're on site, and that's what I'm guessing, because he would be on site. Just want to make sure, because he's probably heading to Taco Bell. All right, next, check this one out, Pam. A question for the podcast from Cape Town, South Africa.
How's what?
That? I know. We're all over the world. I love podcasting. It's so incredible.
That's crazy.
She says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm a fan of the show all the way from Cape Town, South Africa, and even a bigger fan of Disney World. Initially, I was planning a trip for Walt Disney World in September of 2019, anticipating lower crowds before Galaxy's Edge opens. With living so far away and living in a third world economy, it's not possible to travel often, so it'll be the last trip for about 4 to 5 years' time. It isn't possible to stay on property, so I'll be staying off-site in Disney World and Universal Studios over a two-week period. She's visiting those two. I was disappointed to hear that Galaxy's Edge is opening early with specials like EEMAs. So we got a new acronym here. So extra magic hours. They need right. to put let's throw a 30 in there. Make them extra
know,
early.
Right?
Early
extra.
Anyway. And I'm concerned that it'll just be too busy and rope drop not being an option to beat the masses before they come in. I'm considering partially moving the trip to May of 2020. I prefer to go as soon as possible, being in September, but if the crowds might be more manageable in May of 2020, I would prefer to move it. What do you think, Kirsten? So let's talk this through, because now there's a lot of dynamics going on for the fall and the remainder of 2019 down at Walt Disney World, especially once Galaxy's Edge opens on August 31st. Of course, we've been talking about this for years. We expect the crowds to be large at the studios because this is going to be an amazing experience. And we'll talk about that on Friday because you got a little peek behind the curtain. But what do you say to folks like this? This is a pretty common question we're getting, and a question that I think a lot of people that typically travel in the fall time are pondering. Do I go this fall or do I wait till next spring, summer? What do you say to this?
It's so hard.
It is.
It's
I mean, there's so not really hard. A right answer because, I mean, the thing is
you're asking me to look in a crystal ball.
That's it. That's it.
You.
That's it. I mean, that's kind of why I want to have the conversation on our Facebook page. Like, what would you do? So we'll talk about this throughout the week.
I know.
But
it's,
I mean,
true, but there's so many things to think about.
Exactly.
There just really are. Is September going to be better or worse than May? You could delay your trip to May, and May could be way more busy than September is, because at that point, both attractions will be open.
Yes.
People who don't go all the time will be planning their trips for May, or, you know, or their spring breaks, or sometimes in May or something like that, so they can experience both of them. It is really hard to anticipate what Galaxy's Edge is going to do. It just really is. I'm inclined to believe that I wouldn't change any of my plans because I think it requires second guessing in a way that we're not able to do right now. I just do. I don't know that it will impact. I don't know if the crowds will impact all the other parks. We just don't know that yet. So
here's how I look at this, because I try to think about things and, you know, what would I do? And she's in a tough spot because, I mean, think about it. She's coming from the other side of the world.
I know.
You know, and it's not as accessible as it is for you from Pittsburgh, for me from St. Louis. You know, a couple hours plane flight that's, you know, semi-economical. You know, hop on Southwest and you're down there. So right. I get it. You want to make the biggest bang for your buck if you're only going every 4 or 5 years. That's true. But I'm kind of with Pam that, you know, you could put things off and say, well, you know, it might be better in May of 2020, or maybe if I wait till September of 2020, or maybe in 2021. But the thing is, we have a lot of landmark events happening. You know, you got the 50th of Walt Disney World coming up very soon, too, which we'll be celebrating, which is going to draw people in because we're going to get lots of new yeah. things to see there. You got Mickey's Runaway Railway. I mean, just so many cool things. The Guardians of the Galaxy coaster over at Epcot, Ratatouille. This is what I love about Walt Disney World. It's why I love doing this podcast. It's dynamic. It's exciting. There's so much to do. And so I always kind of say, you know, I think about it like in the, like, you know, when you're trying to think about like your cell phone, okay, like your iPhone. I think a lot of people are like, you know, right now, like you could go get an iPhone XS, you know, and that's like the latest and greatest. But then some people say, well, you know, in September, there's going to be an iPhone 11, you know, but then so they don't buy it, you know, and so then they don't get to use a cool phone from now till September. But I mean, you know, then in September, all of a sudden, you're probably thinking, oh, man, all of a sudden my phone's going to be obsolete, you know, like next September. So right. you could always wait for the next anticipated greatest thing. But I think the thing is, a lot of folks miss out on the here and now, and Walt Disney World is going to be a great place in September. I wouldn't wait.
Yeah, that's really how I've been leaning too. I just think about, you know, when you think, I mean, of course, we're all Disney fans, right? But you think about the general population who absolutely makes up more of the visitors at Walt Disney World than the rest of us probably do. They probably didn't have an opportunity to alter their plans to go for Galaxy's Edge opening, right? They have their vacation sort of planned out. They know when they're going to go. They know whatever. So I think that that's the thing you have to think about, that it may not be as bad in the fall as some people anticipate. So,
yeah, I mean, it's you could put things off forever. And I think that yes. you just don't want to do that. You're going to have a great trip. I mean, like, as much as I was complaining about this offsite thing, I had an awesome time. Like, I explored Disney Springs more than I would have because of the proximity that was, you know, near my hotel. It was three hotels down and across the street, but I got to Disney Springs a lot and I got to try some new restaurants. We spent a lot of time and I'm not a shopper. I kind of don't like that kind of stuff, but I liked it. And we, you know, I explored Saratoga Springs. It was right there. So there's so many opportunities that I think that a lot of times we can worry about the negative, but if you just look at it glass half full, you're going to have an amazing time. And I don't even think you have to think about it that way, but I think you will have a great time. So
I agree.
All right. Sarah's got a question here in the live chat. She says, what should I do about breakfast pre-opening for our Be Our Guest restaurant at 8:35 a.m. in September with the new extra magic hours? Should I still do it? Again, this is kind of the same thing. I know a lot of folks are thinking, man, I made this pre-park opening breakfast reservation. I'm going to be in the Magic Kingdom before it opens and get some pictures by the castle. And now all of a sudden it's opening at 7 a.m. That's not going to happen, but you're going to be our guest. You're going to have an awesome breakfast. It's still not going to be crazy crowded. Definitely do it. That's going to be a great meal. I think that we can't overthink things, but I mean, it's just me.
I agree. I wasn't one to make the early reservations in hopes of getting the good pictures. We actually made them at a time that I thought would really work for us. I like Be Our Guest. I like the setting. I think if you're on the dining plan, it's an awesome use of a quick service credit. And I just think there's a lot to really enjoy there. So go and enjoy. Look at the menu. Make sure you like it. But go and enjoy the food. So
absolutely. All right. The next email says a little something extra. It's from Caitlin in Ohio. She's actually in Stowe, Ohio, 1,030 miles from the world, which is, I'm 1,021. So we're just almost the same. Hello there. It's Scott. You know, you're a crazy Disney fan when you know exactly how many miles you are. And that's from Pop Century, by the way, because I used to drive it all the time. So I'm 1,021 miles from Pop Century.
That's funny.
Just for the record. She says, hello there. Your podcast was a tremendous help as I was planning mine and my husband's honeymoon last summer, and I've started listening routinely again now that I'm in the early stages for our next trip. In early mid June 2020, my husband and I are planning on taking my little sister, who'll be 11, on her first trip to the world. I'm wanting to do something a little special or extra for her while we're there. I'm weighing the early morning magic at Fantasyland versus Happily Ever After Fireworks Dessert Party with Garden Plaza Viewing for best view of the castle projections. They're somewhat comparably priced, but I'm trying to decide which one would be the best value. We are having to go in early mid-June due to school schedules, which I know is extremely busy. It was when we went last year and I felt it was so difficult to see the fireworks show with no dessert party without being trampled or stampeded. Will the dessert party viewing really help alleviate this? Or is it a better value regardless to pay for the early morning magic even with the crowds in June? Thanks for all you do, Kate. So I will tell you this, and Pam can back me up on this. The dessert parties, you have plenty of, you can lay down because they have like a little kind of garden area roped off for you. And you can sprawl out if you want. I mean, you could do snow angels in June on the fake grass and still have plenty of space. So if space is your thing, you're getting that with the Happily Ever After dessert party, and you're getting great desserts, and you're getting a good view. It's really kind of the, if you want to feel like a VIP in the Magic Kingdom for the fireworks show, that's it. That being said, she's also considering early morning magic at the Magic Kingdom for Fantasyland. I haven't done that one. Pam, what do you say to the... She's trying to find the best thing for her 11-year-old sister.
I know, and these are tough choices. We've talked about them. Like Mike, I really enjoy the dessert party. I think it's a great way to see those fireworks. It just really is. It made me not have to stand, you know, up around the partner statue trying to find, you know, the perfect spot. I really enjoyed that. But the early morning magic has been getting such great reviews from everyone who has attended. I did the one at Hollywood Studios just a couple weeks ago, and I really thought it was fantastic. And it also saved me a lot of fast pass usage. Yes. Like, especially at, I would think, Hollywood Studios, it does, because those are tier one attractions there. So that saves a ton of fast pass usage. But even at the Magic Kingdom, think about if you can go and ride those attractions, and then you would get to have fast passes for other things throughout the day. You don't have to get them for Seven Dwarfs. You don't have to get them for Peter Pan. That's a huge bonus too. And it includes the breakfast as well. So again, that's a really hard choice for me.
Here's the thing, too. Rachel, in our live chat, she just said, early morning magic Fantasyland is amazing. Walk on so many rides. It's wonderful. Here's another thing I want to consider, because I happen to have an 11-year-old girl in the house. Her name's Mallory.
There you go.
You also got to consider that, do you want to poke the bear and get her up super early? Because some 11-year-olds might not be as exciting as you think it is. And I hate to say this, but I mean, and it is exciting. I've had to do this with Mallory. Maybe it's because we go too much. I don't know. But like, I'm like, let's go, man. Let's go to Extra Magic Hours. Like, I'm up at 4:30. I've already run. I'm showered. I'm like, get out of bed. Let's go. The day is wasting. I'm like, what's her name? Not Elsa, Anna on Frozen. Like, the sun's awake. I'm awake. Let's roll. But, you know, the rest of my girls, they're not so much morning people. So an 11-year-old girl may not be so hip to getting up early for that. But I mean, she might be a night, you know, somebody that likes to stay up late and really like the fireworks. So, I mean, also consider her personality, I would say.
I think too. And the other thing you talked about was the crowds around the fireworks. They're there. But I will also say, since Disney has expanded that hub area, they do an amazing job with crowd control. They really and truly do. I think that they make people keep moving, and they just do a great job with that. So we're not much help in this area because we've really talked about both of these things. So we probably made it harder rather than easier to decide. But they're both good choices.
The thing is, you can't go wrong. I mean, I've told this to a lot of my guests at the Magic for Less when we're kind of having these debates over, you know, a voicemail or, you know, a phone call or a email or what have you. You know, the thing is, you know, I can give what I think, but I mean, it's really comes down to what the expectations are of the guests, and really one or the other is going to be amazing. Like, even if you make the bad choice, you're going to have the best time ever. So it's a no-lose situation, I think.
It's like, which is the worst of these two awesome choices?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't go wrong. But I mean,
I don't know.
If they don't like getting up early in the morning, though, maybe do the fireworks. That's the only thing I can think to kind of delineate the two.
Right.
So. And all right, Brenda's got a good question in the live chat here. Brenda Caba, thanks for joining us here live on Facebook. I have two girls, 9 and 3. Is doing Acroshoes and Cinderella's Royal Table too much, or both a must do? What are you, so here's the thing. Okay, so It depends. To me, it depends. Like, are you going to go back? Because maybe you do one on one trip, one on another trip, and maybe have them look at pictures or maybe the menus and see which one they're more excited. I will say that I think Akershus, especially on the Disney Dining Plan, another reason to get the Disney Dining Plan is it is a huge value on the Dining Plan. That was my when I have the Dining Plan, we go to Akershus. That's one of the big ones because you are getting a lot of bang for your buck there. Now, of course, Cider Rose Roll Table is a signature to credits per person. It's amazing, though. I mean, how many times can you say, I woke up in the morning, had breakfast in Cinderella Castle in the middle of the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World? So it's kind of like a life goal for some of us Disney fans.
I know. I agree. And the other thing you could do is you could do one for dinner and one for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And again, Akershus is still just one credit for dinner on the Dining Plan. That's, you know, once you start working with a guest and you see they have a couple, you know, character meals or all you can eat meals, you're like, okay, it's time for you to start looking at the Dining Plan because you don't understand. I understand your child is 9 and they only eat 3 bites of things. They're going to charge you the full, the 9-year-old price, whether your child eats a bite of something or 3 bites, at least with the Dining Plan. You can sort of, you know, temper that a little bit and you still have quick service and stuff like that to do. But, you know, Hannah was the kind of girl that we could have gone to Cinderella's Royal Table in the morning, Akershus for lunch, and then finished up with Chef Mickey's. She loved the characters. So I think see what your girls have to say about that.
And I appreciate, let's see, who was Eric being here in the live chat. He says, Akershus, bless you. Never gets old. There you go. I love that. And Tim's being very pragmatic. Akershus right next to Frozen Ever After. There you go. Boom.
That's true. That's true.
I love our listeners. They're smarter than we are. And that's why I hang out with you guys.
You've been around for 1,500 episodes.
That's why we hang out with a live chat room, because you guys are awesome. All right. All right. So next question. I like the title of this one. Margaritas or beignets? There you go.
Why are we choosing? The answer is both.
Yeah, exactly. The answer is yes. Yes. Let's see what she says. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm headed down to Walt Disney World in October with my boyfriend. We're trying to decide on a hotel and are between Port Orleans French Quarter, Riverside, or Coronado Springs. I get it. We stayed at Riverside a few years ago and absolutely loved it. I'm wondering if we should stick to what we love, move over to French Quarter to try that out for the first time, or go to Coronado Springs. I've stayed at Coronado once a few years ago, but it was pre-refurbishments, so I don't think I got the full experience. Thanks for all you do. I look forward to your show every week. Megan, I say go to Coronado. As much as I love Riverside and French Quarter, you love it. You said you love it as well. It's a great resort. I'm going to be there next month myself. But I think, you know, try something a little bit different. It's been a while since you've been to Coronado. Go over there and have a margarita and have a flight over at Maya Grill for me. What do you say, Ben?
Yeah, I'll give a plug here. I'll pretend like I'm Ricky and say, go over to the Mouse for Less, because they have some great pictures of Coronado, the new rooms there. And I will say, I think those rooms are worth making the change to that resort. I think those rooms alone are making the switch to Coronado. Then you add in the fact that there's going to be all kinds of stuff like the new restaurants, the new lobby, the new tower. I don't know. I'm a Coronado fan, like, so much. So I think that, you know, Riverside and French Quarter have basically been the same. I mean, with some updates definitely to their room, but I think the change at Coronado has been dramatic and it has been meaningful to the guests who are staying there. So I think if I were you, I'd give Coronado a shot.
Here's the hack. And we'll talk about this a little bit on Friday. It's going to be mostly about Pam, but I got like 5 minutes to share what I did. So we were off site, but I made sure that we ate at Olivia's so I could go to Key West and get to soak it in. I love it. We ate at Maya Grill we ate there on Cinco de Mayo, and we got the ADR that day. Like, so,
oh,
I mean,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, it's Mexican restaurants. We had fajitas, margarita flights. It was awesome.
Was Smooth Jazz guy there?
He was not there. I don't know. What? I know. It's like the biggest day of the year. Where was he? I love that guy. And of course we were there with some other, no, we didn't go there with Cheer Moms. Who was I showing that to? I think I was showing it to the lady that checked us in. I'm like, see, I'm friends with the smooth. Yeah, I was showing it to the hostess. I was like, I'm friends with the smooth jazz guy. See, here's the photo with him here. Because on Google Photos, if you type in Maya Grill, it'll pull up all your pictures.
Yep.
scary. So that was, yeah, it was a lot of crazy pictures. Anyway, so yeah, go to Coronado. All right. Last question of the day. This is another kind of crystal ball question. Here we go. Thoughts on Hollywood Studios' extra magic hours. Hey, Mike and BOGP crew. I'm sure by now you've heard, seen the park hours for September and October. Hollywood Studios is opening at 6 a.m. for extra magic hours every day. And Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom are opening at 7 a.m. every day, or at least as far as I can tell. It looks like Disney is doing their best to accommodate record crowds for Galaxy's Edge opening. Obviously, I know you can't predict what's going to happen, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts, gut reactions to this. Do you think there's really going to be a huge crowd at 6 a.m. every day for Galaxy's Edge? How do you think that will affect other attractions in Hollywood Studios, specifically Toy Story Land? Do you have any experience with parks opening so early for new attractions or lands? Have they ever opened at 6 a.m. before? This feels like uncharted territory to me, and I've only been a Disney planning nerd for the past year or two, so I would love to know your initial thoughts, gut reactions. Thanks so much for all you do. Whitney's down in Memphis. And I like this question because, again, we have no idea. This is, it's unprecedented. Because, you know, this is kind of, you know, Disney's opened lands based on IP. Think about Pandora just a couple years ago. But Star Wars is just a whole nother game. I mean, it's got such a huge following. And the fans of Star Wars are crazy, huge fans. And they're not crazy. They're like us Disney fans. I mean, we have a passion. We talk about it three times a week here on the podcast. I mean, my house has got Disney everywhere. You know, it's just like my Jeep has Disney stuff on it. I love it. It is a part of my life. Star Wars fans are the same way. You got this intersection of the two. So let's kind of break it down. I think initially, yes, you will see a lot of folks there at 6 a.m. I think the thing is, it's going to be a small percentage of the on-site guests that get up to go to Hollywood Studios at 6 a.m. Because think about this. Pragmatically, you're going to have to get up at 4:30 at the latest probably to get there at 6 a.m. You know, maybe 5 o'clock if you're staying in the Epcot Air Resorts. But I mean, that is super early. And you're on vacation. Remember that you're on vacation. 5 a.m. Wake up call. But I think people will do it because if you can knock stuff out early and you get in, you can go back and take a nap. Especially, this is why you need to be on site. What are your thoughts, Pam? When you heard about the early or the extra magic hours, I mean, how's this all going to fall? We don't know. But I mean, what do you predict?
Oh, man. Again, it's really challenging to do that. But like you, Mike, I really don't feel like everyone is going to get up there and get up and be there for extra magic hour every day. It's probably not something that most people are going to do every day of their vacation. Well, I can guarantee it's something that most people aren't going to do for every day of their vacation. They're probably going to pick and choose maybe one or two times that they're going to go ahead and try to do it and take advantage of it. But you have to understand that the on-site guests are not, the hugest percentage of everyone that goes to Walt Disney World. As we are all on-site fans, I mean, of course, that's from our perspective where everyone stays. Those parking lots, my friends, are very, very full of off-site guests. It's always so funny whenever we rent a car and we're in line to pay for our parking, and I'm watching the people in front of me, like, paying for parking. And, you know, those are off-site guests. And I'm saying to Steve, holy cow, are this many guests really coming from off-site? They are. And that many of them don't even get there early. So anyways, that's all to just say that, like, the busiest part during the day at some of the theme parks is going to be much busier than the mornings of these theme parks, even if everyone got up and went to the parks. So I think what you're going to have to do is pick one or two times that you really, really want to be there and take advantage of it.
That's the best advice. I mean, because the thing is, Disney, you know, I applaud Disney for this. I think it is, they're trying. I mean, the thing is, like, they're being, you know, smoked out by how excited fans are for what they're creating. You know, like, we've wanted this our entire lives since 77, you know, since I was a 4-year-old watching Star Wars. Man, if I could see the Millennium Falcon, like, we're gonna talk about this on Friday, I am gonna cry. Like, I am gonna, like, I just want to see it. It's my ship. I've dreamed of flying the Millennium Falcon my whole life, and there's so many people like me that want to see that. But now my kid, who associates with Rey, my 11-year-old daughter, she has a whole appreciation for the Star Wars there's so many people that love it. So I think Disney is like, they're going to be a victim of their own success because they do things right when it comes to theming lands, when it comes to theming attractions and guest experience and the immersiveness of it all. There's a high expectation. So people are going to come down. So I think what they're doing is, I mean, the parks can't be open 24/7. There has to be maintenance. There has to be, you know, logistics and everything. But I mean, the fact is that they're giving us lots of park hours. And what that does, it gives us flexibility. Like you said, I would never do it 6 a.m. every day on my vacation, but I might pick out a day to go do that and then, you know, nap that afternoon, make the next day a day where I go to the park at 10 o'clock because I've already made some great fast passes that start at 11. You know, and I think it's what it's all about is Disney's being proactive and they're being flexible and they're giving guests options. I think that's the best thing they can do.
I agree. And I will say my other piece of advice for people traveling during this time is that I feel like park hoppers are going to become more important to get that value out of your vacation. Because if you're getting up at 6 a.m. and you spend a big chunk of that time in the park that day, chances are you aren't going to want to go back to that park later on in the afternoon. You're going to want to hop to another park. Or you're going to want the ability. Let's say you get to Hollywood Studios, it's packed. Which you can't really anticipate the way you could before because the schedule is just going to be thrown out the window, right? You want to hop to Magic Kingdom because it's going to be less crowds or whatnot. Make sure you look at the ability to add the park hopping to whatever ticket you're purchasing. So,
all right. Well, it's been a great show because of your questions. So thank you so much for that. Send those into Mike at brguestpodcast.com. We'll get those right here on the air. Thanks everybody who joined us live here on Facebook. We love having your interactions and your thoughts and your questions. That means so much to us. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. This is a great app because for one, it's free. It works on all iOS devices and it gives you the latest. It's kind of like an aggregator of Disney news, not just Walt Disney, you know, theme park news, Walt Disney World, but it gives you the movies and the entertainment stuff. So you get all of your Disney fix in one convenient app right there on all iOS devices, absolutely free. And it, like I always say, it's better than reading the cereal box in the morning as you're having breakfast. So check it out. Great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. And please do support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do that online shopping, we sure appreciate that. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Check us out on the social. We love talking with you. We do that all week, and it's a great time always. So check us out at Be Our Guest Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. And get a hold of me at Be Our Guest Mike on Instagram and Twitter as well. And of course, we got an amazing Facebook group with over 8,000 Disney fans talking Disney all the time. Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. And also check us out on YouTube if you want to see what it looks like when we put this all together. It's kind of crazy, and you get a little pre-show too. It was crazy this week, a little live PD talk. All right, so we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. We've got so much to talk about. It's a supersized show. We'll try to keep it within the normal limits, but so much to talk about. Pam got to see some really cool stuff last week, so we're going to be bringing that to you on Friday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.